going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in.
Yes, sir. 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning. 888-808-1019. I got you for 3 hours as we take you all the way to the warm-up show at 5. We got Fliegelman on the other side, and we're taking your phone calls for those 3 hours right here on WFAN on this Wednesday morning. So, we'll get to the baseball. We'll get to the best hitter on the planet needing help around him. And there's a conversation about several of those Yankee players in this offense off a disappointing loss to Cleveland. The Mets keep on a rolling. The pitching keeps on a rolling. And that Lindor-Alonso offense can't be stopped. But we'll start with the football because we are 2 days away now from the NFL draft. And there's a little bit of news out about how the Giants might be handling this draft. And I got to tell you, you know, from the minute this all started, let's take it back to the Colts game. Let's just start there for a second. I got to just put it out there. I got to just say it, as we heard today again, that Tennessee officially, we've known it for a little while, but Tennessee pretty much officially said they are all in consensus. The whole building knows what they want to do. They are not trading the first overall pick. The Giants and any other team can forget that. The Tennessee Titans are staying at one and taking Cam Ward. That's it. So, really, from the minute the Giants won that ridiculous game against the Colts, yes, that's right, I'm bringing it up again. From the minute they won that ridiculous game against the Colts, and I'm not getting into it, I'm not blaming anyone, what are they supposed to do, blah, blah, blah. If you're still hung up on the idea that the Giants were better off winning that game, you're absolutely crazy. Because the Giants could be sitting at number one right now with the consensus number one quarterback locked in. And if Cam Ward, I'll give credit to Marash because I saw it, I'm thinking the same thing. If Cam Ward turns out to be the truth, if Cam Ward turns out to be an excellent starting quarterback, I hope you're all happy going 1-8 at home instead of 0-9. God forbid they went 0-9. 1-8 is so much better at home. Thank God they won that football game. Instead, we're sitting here at number 3 not knowing what to do. And from that game, from that minute they won that football game, I have not liked or cared or been intrigued in anything I have heard about this NFL draft for the New York Giants. As a Giant fan, the entire process has absolutely been terrible. And it's just, I don't know if it's just me, but everything I hear makes me annoyed. Everything I hear from Tennessee locked into Cam Ward to the Giants, possibly the most recent news, Schrager with ESPN now, is reporting that there's some thought in the idea of trading back. as much as I want the quarterback, right? The perfect draft to me is just to take the quarterback at three. I've been on that forever. I want Shedeur Sanders. I don't want to play games either. Like, to me, the Giants have the third overall pick. If they believe Shedeur Sanders is the guy, they should take him. I don't want to play games with the NFL draft. And to me, the only thing and the only reason you would be looking to trade back is the belief now that Shedeur Sanders or Dart or your guys, and they're going to be falling back later in the draft, and you can pick them up somewhere else down the line. I don't know if a quarterback is getting past nine with the Saints. I have no idea. You know, we could see. I'm not going to make assumptions. I hate making assumptions. I know I didn't believe in much of anything Dave Gettleman ever said as the executive of the New York Giants. But he used to say, let's not get cute, because he was notorious for never trading back in his entire career in the NFL draft, of course, until he did it for Young Joker, which was a terrific trade, obviously. And that's where I think the Giants are now. To me, as much as I want a quarterback, and sure, the idea of acquiring more picks, moving back a little bit, see who's willing to talk to me with that third pick, I can trade that pick, I can acquire assets for next year, for later in this draft, more of a possibility to move up into the first round and get that quarterback, or take the quarterback at six or seven, or wherever they're willing to move, whether it's the Jets at seven, or whoever else might be willing to come up and get the general players in this draft, whether it be Hunter or Carter. For me, I hate that plan too. I hate all of it. I'm so mad that they are not the first overall pick that I don't like anything I hear. And I'll be totally honest with you, I've been saying this the entire draft. I don't want to mess with that third pick. I either want to take the quarterback I believe in, which is either going to be Hunter, and the other reports are is that they're very torn and like Jackson Dart out of Mississippi, out of Ole Miss, and that they've put in just as much work into Ole Miss. They've been to just as many games and just as many workouts. And the thought is that a lot of the scouting department likes Shedeur Sanders, but that the coaching staff likes Jackson Dart. And there's a kind of an idea that the Giants are kind of the same on either quarterback. And to me, I don't want to play games. If you're asking me what I think the New York Giants should do with the third overall pick, they should decide whether they like Shedeur Sanders or they like Jackson Dart and take the quarterback at number three. But if they're not going to do that, if they don't deem either of these two quarterbacks worth the third overall pick, the last thing I want to do is get cute, move out of that pick. Because we talk about whether or not these two quarterbacks are generational talents, or whether or not these two quarterbacks in what is, you know, a down quarterback year, which always makes me laugh. And I saw Kyle Brandt talking about this too. Like, the idea that every year we say that, oh, it's not a quarterback draft. Oh, I don't know about this guy. We had issues with Michael Penix. We had issues with Bo Nix. We had issues with this one, issues with that one. There's always issues with quarterback until the day of the draft, and suddenly a team that went out and spent $100 million on Kirk Cousins decides to draft Michael Penix eighth. Like, these quarterbacks go. The idea that Shedeur Sanders is going to fall all the way to Pittsburgh or fall past Pittsburgh, and, you know, I think is absolute garbage. There is no way he's making it past nine with the Saints. But the last thing I want to do is get cute and think I can acquire picks. Right now, they are not in the position to be cute. They're not in the position to be cute. Because to me, if I think Shedeur Sanders or Dart aren't worth the third overall pick, then the only thing to do there is there are two players, you are guaranteed one of them, that everyone believes is a can't-miss stud player at their positions, either the edge rusher in Carter or a shutdown corner who could theoretically also help you in the passing game with Hunter. I am leaving that third pick, and I've said this a bunch. As much as I want the quarterback, I am not doing anything with that pick other than taking my franchise quarterback or taking one of the two best players in the draft. That's it. I'm not messing around. I'm not trading back in hopes that what I want is there. I'm not doing any of that. This is Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's last chance to get this thing right. I believe they should draft the future of the franchise, and that's only one position. They should take who they want, and they should move forward with that quarterback, play Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston for however long they want to play them, for as much success as they can, you know, get out of the two of them, as much as they can hopefully, you know, win enough games to satisfy this owner and go about building with the future of this team, the quarterback position, and Brian Daboll, who's worked with other quarterbacks, who got hired because of his career works with other quarterbacks, namely Josh Allen, and try and build and finally do the rebuild that this team was desperate for, instead of changing gears and changing roads just because you had a playoff season in year one. That's what I think the Giants should do. But the last thing I want to do is move back. Right? Because, like, if I'm going to pass up on Shedeur Sanders, if I'm going to pass up on that quarterback at third, I'm not doing it for future picks and hopes of doing other things with it. The only thing I can sell myself on is I got a stud, no miss, can't miss defensive player who's going to either shut down the opposing wide number one wide receiver or is going to get after the quarterback. That's it. I hate the idea of trading away this third pick. I absolutely hate it.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
I don't want to mess around because we don't know where this draft is going. We don't know. Listen, and if I'm doing it, I'm certainly not trading with anyone out after number nine with the Saints. That's it. I am making sure I'm getting a – if I'm moving back, the only thing to do is move back and hope that Sanders or Dart are there. And I know that they probably will be, and I understand that, you know, if you want the quarterback, why wouldn't you move back? I'm not taking chances. We have seen the draft. If they move back and don't get their quarterback, and they've passed up on the quarterback and one of the two generational talents in this draft, that's worst-case scenario. I want to avoid worst-case scenario. We have no idea, oh, well, this, you know, Jacksonville's not going to take a quarterback, and this team's not going to take a quarterback. I have no idea, once this draft starts going, and you get past three, and you get past four, and both of those quarterbacks, or namely Shedeur Sanders, is still available in this draft, I have no idea who's going to jump up in front of where I just traded back to take the quarterback that I'm hoping is still going to be there when I'm picking wherever it is. So for the New York Giants, I think the worst thing they could do is try and get cute and mess around. And you heard Schrager say this too. There's some belief inside the organization. If you believe in the quarterback, just take him third. And that's what the Giants should absolutely do as we sit here. As we sit here today, the New York Giants, I don't like the, without question, they should be coming to the final consensus, much like the Tennessee Titans did with that first overall pick, come to a consensus about who the best quarterback in this draft is, and if he is there at three, they should take him. The last thing I want to do is get cute. I think, you know, hearing all day that Joe Shane is taking phone calls, hang up the phone, Joe. You're sitting there at three. Either get your guy or get one of the two best players in this draft and then find a way to move back into this draft or and get your quarterback or get him in the first pick in the second round or for the Giants' first pick, the second overall pick in the second round. And I'm intrigued by Jackson Dart, right? Like, we've been talking Shedeur Sanders. I've told you from the beginning, I want the Giants to get a quarterback, and it has to be in the first two picks. That's how I feel. It has to be in the first round, or it has to be in the second round. It has to be with one of their first two picks, because there has to be the impetus behind the pick that he is now the future of the franchise. I'm not taking a flyer on Milroe in the third or fourth. I'm not taking a flyer on Shuck in the third or fourth. I'm not taking a flyer on some of these other quarterbacks and just say, hey, well, you know, we're filling up our quarterback room. We like our room. Here's a chance he could be a stud, or there's a chance he could develop, and let's give Shane some and Dable an opportunity to do that. No. The future quarterback of the franchise has to be drafted, and that label has to be placed upon him the minute Roger Goodell or whoever it is reads the name. That's it, plain and simple. And as much as I want that, and as much as the idea of trading back, I would think, lends to taking the quarterback. Because I don't know where else the Giants would go. There are other great players. There are other big-time players in this draft, right? There's a lot of talk of offensive linemen, wide receivers, picks 20 through 35 are, you know, where you'll find the best value in this draft and blah, 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 and all the stuff we hear, and that's fine. And this could put them in a position to either take someone and then move back and give them more ammo to move back into the first round. Like, there's a bunch of different ways to sell yourself on this. But to me, when you are where they are, when you're the New York Giants and you have failed at the level they have failed at over the last handful of years, when you have put the product on the field over the last handful of years that you have, when you attacked free agency and spent money on your defense, when you've had this many premium picks over the last handful of years, when you have failed at draft pick after draft pick, like, to me, when you are drafting third, you're coming off winning three games, which is hard to do in the NFL. You have got to sell your fan base. You have got to provide a vision. And as much as I'd like the idea of, oh, look at all the picks they acquired, the only way to sell any sort of future vision, success, excitement to a fan base that is starved for it is either one of the two best players in this draft that everybody considers can't miss, or the quarterback of the future. And there's probably a, you know, a handful of different ways to get either one of those, but I am sitting there at the number third pick, and I am not messing around. And everything I hear, I don't know, you know, we talk about this a lot, and we try not to react to it, and this is what we do in sports radio, right? I mean, it's no secret. We talk about the news of the day, and we overreact to this report and that report. And I don't know how the Giants have felt at any time along this entire process. But everything that's happened from the minute the season ended, and it felt like, well, they have to get a quarterback, they're third overall, plus it's going to help save their jobs. That's where we started. We started with the Giants, oh, well, they're desperate to save their jobs. They have to draft a quarterback. They're taking third, they're picking third overall. That's what you do when you're a lousy franchise and you don't have a quarterback and you're drafting third. And then slowly, as we nitpick and pick apart this one and look to knock Shedeur Sanders and we look for different things and every day and every report and every, you know, hey, well, listen, we don't need a quarterback. Hey, this puts us in a position to do whatever we want. Oh, there's rumors that Brian Daboll doesn't like Shedeur Sanders. Like everything that comes with it, Shedeur could fall past 21. All of the nonsense that we hear every single day, every single bit of it has done nothing but represent to me two distinct things. One, I am furious they won that freaking game against the Colts, and they aren't the ones sitting at the podium with nothing to think about other than taking the future quarterback, Cam Ward, at number one overall. And two, I don't know what the hell to believe on any given day, and so I'm sticking with what I've thought from the beginning of this entire process. The New York Giants have been a terrible franchise. Brian Daboll was hired because of him developing Josh Allen. There will be a quarterback there, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart, and apparently they have strong opinions on both of those quarterbacks, and until I'm hearing otherwise, I don't want to trade out, I don't want to mess around, I don't want to get fooled on the idea of a can't-miss edge rusher or a can't-miss cornerback. I'll take those if I don't believe in the quarterback. But if there is actual belief in either Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders, and that's what I'm hearing, the reports are that the Giants like both of them and possibly Jackson Dart as much or more than Shedeur Sanders. I'm telling you right now, I am a Shedeur Sanders guy. I would much rather have them draft him than draft Jackson Dart. But if they take a quarterback number three, I am going to be the happiest man in the New York sports arena. Because that's what they should be doing. That's what this franchise needs. That's the rebuild that they have been unable to do for the first 3 years of this regime because they won 9 games in year one. And we are paying for every single one of those wins. We're paying consistently now. And that's what sucks most about this. And that's what I'm annoyed at today. What really bothers me is that this Giants team has been a disaster since they won the Super Bowl in 2011. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. The Joe Judge era, every single coach has been a disaster. Every single GM has been a disaster. There has been nothing but losing as much as any other franchise in the NFL for a decade. And the thing that sits here right now and hurts the Giants the most are the 9 wins that got them into the playoffs the first year of this regime and the 1 win at home they got last year, preventing them from being the first overall pick. That's when you know that your franchise is in complete disarray. When you've lost more than anyone in the NFL, but it's the wins that have killed you. There is not a worse position you can be in than the losingest franchise in the sport over the last 6 or 7 years, and having the few wins you got be the reason you're in the position you're in. So if I'm the New York Giants, I'm drafting my quarterback, but the last thing I'm doing is playing games, trading back, allowing someone else to get the best defensive player in the draft, or having someone step up and take my quarterback. As unlikely as that sounds, that both of those quarterbacks won't be there if I move back, I am not messing around. Take the best player if you don't believe that their value is worthy of a third overall pick. Take the best player available at 3 and then find a way to get back into the first round and get your quarterback. I do not want to move back. I want to come away with a stud or a quarterback from that third pick. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday morning as we are 2 days away from the NFL draft. We'll start there. We'll get into the Jets and what they should do with the draft as well. We'll get into the baseball as the Mets keep on winning. The pitching, again, I mean, Griffin Canning in this game gives up 7 hits. He is the epitome of bend, don't break. He's out there battling. This is one of the worst starting pitchers in Major League Baseball last year. And he is out there without his good stuff, getting through 5 innings against one of the better lineups and one of the tougher teams in the division. Out there without his good stuff, battling through 7 hits. What the Mets pitching is doing right now is off the wall. It is remarkable how good they are. And the Yankees drop a frustrating game. They have a miserable inning that gives them 3 runs and a loss. And there's a real conversation to be had, and I started having it a few weeks ago. But we got to talk about Anthony Volpe. We got to talk about Anthony Volpe. We got to talk about Bellinger. We got to talk about Jazz. We got to talk about Wells. And this lineup that looked so promising in the beginning part of the year with all the home runs, right now, outside of Judge, who gets another 4 hits and is now hitting 411, there is nothing surrounding Judge except maybe Goldschmidt that is worth anything right now. And we can complain about whether or not Boone went to the bullpen, you know, in time, too late, too early, whatever we want to say, or the defense of the catcher, or anything else. The reason they lost this game is because they scored 2 runs. So the Yankee offense is an issue. The Mets have no issues. And we start with the NFL draft. We'll get into the Knicks as well, as we can get into the conversation about the hero ball that Jalen Brunson has been playing, as that was the big topic of the day here on The Fan.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is, hit number
number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Heartache. All right, 228, Mick Monaghan here with you on The Fan. That's what the Giants are for me, heartache. I mean, it just hit me again today. As, you know, the Titans are telling everybody the pick is in. They're taking Cam Ward. I just hope all you Giant fans out there who got real excited about winning that game against the Colts and enjoyed it and tell me I'm nuts and, you know, players don't tank and, you know, you can't tank and the owner certainly doesn't want to hear anything about tanking. Well, I'm glad we are where we are with the third overall pick. And remember, oh, it's only two picks. Yeah. Oh, it's only two picks. It's a world of difference picking number one or picking number three. And now, you know, I'm a draft the quarterback guy. So if they can figure this out, like, again, I don't want to mess with it. I just want to take the quarterback third because I'm afraid of getting screwed. And just because the teams, you know, after the Giants up until nine don't necessarily seem like teams who are going to draft quarterbacks again. I point to the Falcons last year. You don't have to go that far back. The Falcons taking Michael Penix eighth was an absolute stunner. They just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million. So when you look at the draft and you go, well, yeah, I mean, you could, if New England wants to move up and again, if the Giants are on the quarterback, right, if that's where they're going to go, and they can move down and get a couple of picks from New England, a couple of picks from Jacksonville. Like, it makes sense if you can get the picks and then draft your quarterback. And if you feel that either one of them are good, like, then I suppose I'm not against a short little move. But, like, if we're talking about, like, really opening up to phone calls, like, I can't move past nine because I'd be afraid they take my guy. And still, as much as they say, you know, oh, you know, they feel very strongly about Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders, or, you know, half the room loves this guy and half the room, like, in the end, there's a guy they like better. I want them to take the guy they like the best. And I just wouldn't, I would be terrified of moving back, losing out on the generational talent, and then having someone like snipe up and take the quarterback I was looking to take at wherever I trade back to. I think, you know, trading back is overthinking it. Take the freaking quarterback. Take the quarterback you love. That's what the NFL is based on. Do it the third overall pick. I don't want to play games. I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room. I don't need to do that. The smartest guy in the room is the guy who leaves with the right quarterback. That's it. That's who wins these drafts. You leave with the right quarterback, you won the draft. That's it. Doesn't matter where you take him, what you traded up to get him. Does anyone remember? Like, honestly, does anyone remember what Kansas City got or gave up to trade up for Patrick Mahomes? Like, who cares? They could have given up anything. They could have given up the next 10 years of first-round picks. Would it have mattered? So as we get closer and closer to this thing, and you hear new reports, and, you know, we're open to this, and we're open to that, and we, like, all of a sudden the Giants are just as much on Jackson Dart as they are on Shedeur Sanders, and they're listening to phone calls about moving out of third, and you got Joe Shane telling us last week that, you know, because of the additions of Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, that they don't need to draft a quarterback. Like, and the same crap we hear every year, oh, it's not a quarterback draft. You know, who, you know, okay. There's always, these quarterbacks always go off the board. So as we get closer and closer, it just annoys me every day that we continue to hear the same crap. And I don't know what to believe. And I know I shouldn't, and what's frustrating the most is I shouldn't even have to. I shouldn't even have to. We as Giant fans should have been sitting back this entire time with our feet up saying, well, which quarterback are they going to take number one? That should have been the only thought process, which would have been answered, you know, 3 weeks into all of this when Cam Ward became the obvious number one overall pick. Instead, we're sweating this thing out, waiting to see what they're going to do at number three. 888-808-1019. And what I said before is true. There's nothing more frustrating than feeling like, whether it's just my opinion or not, I think it's a pretty fair one. that this team has been ruined by its wins. That sucks, man. That's when you know you're really bad. You're really bad when it's the wins that have cost you. And there is no doubt in my mind, the worst thing that could have happened to this team, it sucks to say this because I enjoyed it at the time. And I thought we turned around the franchise, and I thought we found our head coach, and I thought, you know, I understood why they, as much as I never believed fully in Daniel Jones, I understood why they gave him the contract. I thought it was a bit much. $40 million price tag I thought was a bit high, but I understood. They went to the playoffs. Him and Dable found something. They stopped his turnovers. They were able to win some games. The defense was on the rise. Like, I fully expected them to continue to develop, and instead, that playoff season was the worst thing that happened to them. And then the win at home against the Colts was absolutely a disaster, and instead of sitting there waiting to take Cam Ward, we're sitting here at 3 debating what the hell to do. 888-808-1019. The baseball conversation off of last night, the Mets, 6th in a row, the second 6-game winning streak of the year already. And to me, it's one, we could get into, I know I've been saying this, it's hard to get off it for me until there's, I thought maybe there was, this was going to be the night where they got a little bit of a bad start. Because in that second inning, Griffin Cannon gives up the run. He looks a little bit shaky, gives up 7 hits over 5, constantly having guys on, big moments, you know, but he comes through with big strikeouts, get Castellanos swinging on his slider. Like, to me, the reason you have 6-game winning streaks are because your starting pitching puts you in a position to win those games every single day. And Lindor's been great. I mean, we talk about his April struggles. He's on fire the last, you know, 7 or 8 games or so. He's getting on, he's another couple hits in this game. He's hit a bunch of home runs. He's absolutely owned the Phillies. I mean, he's done a remarkable job. Alonso seems to come through in every big spot. Other than Juan Soto struggling, at least the offense is coming around. Taylor makes a big play defensively. Acuna is getting on base and then showing his speed with one of the better first to thirds on a ball, on a line drive over a second baseman's head that you have to hold up for to still have the ability and the speed to get to third base. I thought was, you know, incredible. So you're seeing a lot of little things as well as some of the power numbers and as well as some of the big guys coming through outside of Alonso, outside of Soto, who is still, you know, finding himself. But to me, there is one thing to talk about with this team. There's one thing to talk about. Stearns and the pitching lab. Stearns, Hefner, and the pitching lab are doing things at a level that are hard to believe. And what they're getting out of every, I mean, it's 10 strikeouts from McGill into Griffin Canning getting out of jam after jam and, you know, overusing his slider, which obviously, if you look at his pitch mix, his sliders are way up this year, so they've been telling him to throw more sliders. He's, you know, become a guy who, even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he's finding ways to get through 5 innings, giving up 1 run to the Phillies. Like, it's crazy what's going on right now with the Mets. And that's really, to me, the talking point is, one, how they're playing at home, the environment that has now become April City Field, which has been unheard of prior to this season. Right? I guess small backstory, because they're winning, is Soto not quite being Soto just yet, but that gets put on the back burner, the far, far back burner, when they're, 11-1 at home, and are now winning their 6th straight game for the second time this season. Their starting pitching hasn't given up a home run in 11 games. 11 consecutive games that the starting pitchers have not given up a home run. I mean, that's how you win games. You want to talk about how you win games? I know starting pitching has been diminished here a little bit throughout throughout baseball the last few handful of years. And we've talked about how important the bullpens are. And they showed the graphic on the broadcast between the Mets starting pitching and the Phillies starting pitching. And really the one, you know, designation where the Phillies were clearly better is just innings. So the Mets still, you know, Griffin, Canning, McGill, clearly Clay Holmes, who's, you know, becoming a starter off of a career here of being a reliever. The innings haven't quite been there yet. I think they were 14th in Major League Baseball in innings from their starting pitching, but number one in ERA. The Phillies have gotten a little bit deeper, but they have guys who've, you know, obviously they have one of the best pitchers in all of baseball with Wheeler and someone who's consistently deep into the game. But, I mean, this starting pitching puts them in a position to win games every night, where the offense, you come through with a couple of clutch hits, and that's it. And let's not forget Torrens, who comes through with a big two-run single in this game. He's been great. I know there's, you know, Fleegs was busting my chops as Brian Cashman allowed him to go for $100,000 or whatever it was. You know, sometimes I don't get hung up on this stuff. I know, I'm sure there's many a Yankee fan right now who's pissed that, you know, Ascar, the backup catcher for the Yankees, was an Uber driver last year and a substitute teacher, and it was a great story until he starts getting out of the crouch too early and allowing pass balls that score runs. While Luis Torrens is killing it for the Mets. But I think that's, you know, sometimes it just clicks with different teams and different organizations. Like, it doesn't, you know how many times the Yankees have picked up guys off the scrap heap? I mean, Gio Urshela. I mean, should all the teams that, should the Cleveland Indians, I think at the time, or the Cleveland Guardians or whatever, be, you know, kicking themselves because Gio Urshela for $25,000 became a Yankee? Like, it's just, sometimes it clicks with different organizations, and right now it is clicking with Torrens. It is pretty much clicking with everyone inside the organization. But I talked about it yesterday. If they're going to get this kind of starting pitching from the investment that they're putting into the starting pitching and allowing the richest owner in baseball to focus on giving contracts to young, everyday position players, that's about as good a way to build an organization as possible. Maybe use some, you know, maybe you could pick up starters if you need at the deadline or something like that, but nothing with long-term contracts, because I don't think that's what they believe in. And right now, who am I to question it? I questioned it all offseason. I'm done. Zip. I am done questioning the Mets and their pitching lab, and it just doesn't matter. We saw a little bit of Frankie Montas throwing in the outfield. I'm sure when he comes back, he's going to be terrific. We're going to see the best of Frankie Montas. I have no doubt. I don't know how you could doubt the Mets on this right now. The Mets are 17-7, tied for the best record in baseball, 10 games over 500, and they are absolutely rolling at home. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Tony in Lodi. What's up, Tony?
C-Mac, first and foremost, hearing the defeat in your voice about the Giants honestly makes my night. Usually I attack you on Boone and how much I can't stand him. And real quick on that, I heard an interview about him from him about Devin Williams. Mm-hmm. He says the analytics show that his stuff has been good. Mm-hmm. He's just been pitching into bad luck. C-Mac, he has a freaking 10 ERA. Like, that guy is the man in the suit. There's no other way to describe
well,
him.
Well, I mean, can I go back on that? Are you just going to go right on to the next
thing?
Okay. I thought his last performance was bad luck. Other the two prior bad ones, I mean, you look at it, like, he didn't give up any hard contact. He had little infield rollers and bloops and an error from the third baseman. As much as he should be better than that, I'm not saying it was a good outing or that he was completely screwed. Like, he's got to be better. But I did think the changeup did have good movement. I went back and watched it. I was listening to it in the car driving home. I am not worried about Devin Williams. And if you think that Aaron Boone would be better served in the postgame crushing him or talking about how bad he's been or saying how we have real concern about him, I completely disagree with you.
No, yeah, I got you. And I just think Aaron Boone's message to me has just gotten lost over the years. Every coach, you know, runs its course. But the point
lost in the World Series last year.
Correct. So the point I want to bring up, and you're a Yankee fan, I'm a Mets fan. Mm-hmm. Juan Soto, I don't mean to, I know they're playing extremely well, so I don't want to make this just about him, but what was his demeanor like on the Yankees? Because I can't help but to watch him, and he seems miserable every night. I mean, he doesn't even interact with, like, Lindor, and I thought that was a big driving point of why he came here. Alonso hit a big home run earlier in the year. He didn't even get off the bench to celebrate. I don't know if he's always had this kind of demeanor or this attitude problem, but I just don't want it to wear thin as time goes on, because there's a good feeling around this Mets team, and I don't need Juan Soto because he's not hitting well affecting that.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Tony. I wouldn't worry about it just yet. We have seen a little bit of a different Soto so far. It could be just struggling. You got to remember, like, there were times, like, he got off to an extremely hot start with the Yankees, and they were winning. They got off to a great start. So a lot of our memories when we think of Soto is either the end or the beginning. But there were times where he was really successful, the Yankees were winning, and then obviously he was playing well in the World Series, and the Yankees were going through the playoffs and into the World Series. There were times where the Yankees struggled through the regular season, and Juan Soto struggled a little bit. And like I think we really do ourselves a disservice when we start to read too much into body language. Like, we are not this is going to come off condescending as a Yankee fan, and there's just no other way to. I'm going to give you my opinion. I've been very positive about the Mets. I know you can't be, but the one thing I'll say is they're very big on the shtick. They're very, like, right now, like you said, there's good vibes around the team. Pete Alonso hits that double today, and he can't get to first base without trying to point to the dugout. And then the second he slides into second base, he barely has his like surroundings. He's rolling over on the bag before he even gets up, and he's doing, like, in the process of getting up, he's doing the hand spin. Like, they love it. And I'm not knocking it. Right now, they're 17-7. They can love everything that's going on. I'm just telling you that, if you're asking me to read the body language of Soto, yeah, Soto was really in a good... I've always thought, we talked about it last year. It was always like, oh, he's not leaving. Even, Sal was big on it. Sal with Mr. Juan Soto. Even he had to admit at times last year that it looked like Juan Soto fit perfectly in a Yankees uniform and fit perfectly with that team. And that's why we were all so... It was more than just, hey, the Yankees have enough money. We all knew that, but we knew the other teams would be willing to spend. It was, and it wasn't just pride and pinstripes and 27 championships and the New York Yankees. It was that for this particular team, it just looked like it fit. He looked a lot more comfortable than he's looked so far. But again, it's a few weeks of a 15-year contract. And he's also, that could be a new dynamic for him. I'm not trying to make excuses for him or tell you that he really is. I'm not even agreeing necessarily with what Tony just said. I don't know if he's that in a bad mood, right? I agree. Like, when you see the Lindor stuff, I've noticed that. And I was wondering if people were going to say anything. Like, he's on deck. So when they get to Lindor after hitting home and you see the high fives, it's mainly either the guys on the bench or the guy in the hole. Juan Soto gave him a high five and he's walking to the plate. Like, I don't think there's anything to read. I don't think he's unhappy. I don't think he regrets his decision. Like, I don't think he's sitting around going, I wish I was a Yankee. Like, I think maybe he's sitting around going, all right, listen, this is a little new for me, a little different for me. These guys are a little bit different. It's going to take some time, or just I'm struggling and, he's struggling with, the idea of $765 million, which is a new element, and all of us never expected that to bother him at all, and maybe it is. But I think it's, one, they're winning, and two, I think we're trying to read way too much into this stuff, that he's not the same guy, that he's not happy, that he's like, it's all BS, it's all crap. Like, we have no idea. I don't want to. Is it possible that he's not thrilled at the moment for whatever reason? Yeah, maybe he's not. Maybe something personal in his life is going on. Or maybe he is. Maybe him and Lindor aren't getting off to as great a start of a friendship as maybe him and some other Yankees or Padres or, Nationals did. I don't know. I mean, it's not impossible, but we try and read into this stuff like we are experts. He's not been Juan Soto just yet. He will get there. He is one of the greatest players in the league. He's one of the best players of this generation. He'll be fine. His body language will be fine. I don't think he's sitting around lamenting that he wishes he was in a Yankee uniform as much as I would like to say that. I don't think it's the case. But I also think, and again, this is going to rub Met fans the wrong way, I don't care. The Mets are over the top with this stuff. It's just true. So if Juan Soto hasn't joined the over-the-top shtick party, I don't think that means he's unhappy. Just because he slides into second base and before he even stands up, he's got to try his best to do the hand gestures. Like, that doesn't mean he's not happy. It means that's Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso wants to point to the dugout while he's running to first base. Pete Alonso wants to slide into second and, from his belly, give you the hand gestures before he even gets up or calls timeout. That's Pete. And that's been a lot of the Mets. That's kind of been Winker. That's kind of been a lot of the players on this team, and that's fine. I'm not knocking it, but maybe it stands out when Juan Soto isn't that kind of guy. But I think we read way too much into this stuff. Let's get back to the calls. Omar in North Bergen. What's up, Omar?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac? Big fan. Listen to you every morning.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Hey, man. So check it out. Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. This guy's not a top 10 pick. Call me crazy. He might not even be a first-round pick. Yeah, Giants need a quarterback for the future, but they're not going that route, man. You got to remember, last year, they drafted Malik Nabers. I don't think they want to go back-to-back offensive players. You know, the management, they're trying to save their asses, man. They're here playing for their job this year. Right. So you take the best player available, Abdul Carter.
But why did that change? Because do you remember the conversation at the beginning of all this was, oh, man, they got to draft a future quarterback to save their jobs.
Yeah, but look at what
now we're not on that. Why has that changed? I think that's only changed because of people's opinions.
Quarterbacks. Well, they picked up two capable quarterbacks, and Russell Wilson and James.
Capable
they
can
win
what?
Some games with those guys.
How many and for how long?
Some wins.
That's not
maybe
the future,
six.
Though. Who cares? Yeah, exactly. Maybe six. So
but
what?
That's just better than last year, and that's all management cares about. They just want to win and save their jobs, man.
They could, if Shedeur Sanders starts from day one, they'll win more games than last year. It is impossible. You know how hard it is to win three games in the NFL? Like just by
not with
sheer
Shedeur, man.
Just
not,
by
not
sheer
year
luck.
One.
Yeah, you. I have.
He
no,
doesn't have the arm talent that these guys have, man. I don't know.
No, I guarantee you, he wins more than three games as a starter for the Giants this year. If he were to start all year, I guarantee.
Hey,
you.
Let me squeeze this in. How about Will Warren last night? He didn't look too bad, man.
No, Will Warren looked really good. And thank you for the call, Omar. I mean, I don't want to be the guy who takes the positives out of the losses all the time and further my shill rhetoric. But yes, if you were looking for something to be positive about that game last night, is that Will Warren gave you five innings of one-hit baseball. And I think you could make a discussion, and I defend Aaron Boone all the time, and I'll even defend him in this, because you need to push your starters a little bit. And I heard Jack Curry in the postgame, you want to show the kid you got some confidence in him. And even though the back end of the bullpen was quote-unquote rested, they've been going to this bullpen a ton to start the year. Like, if you have a starting pitcher who's given up one hit and is at an 80 pitch count, I have no problem with sending him out there for the six, but I also, in my head, was thinking maybe it's time to take him out with the top of the order coming up for the third time. I was thinking, you know what? You got a really great five innings. The bullpen is, quote-unquote, rested. The back end of the bullpen was rested and ready to go. Taking Will Warren out after five and having five shutout one-hit innings, I think, was a way to go. I'm not getting on Boone for bringing him out to start the sixth. I understand completely, and I think over the course of the long haul, that's the way it should be handled on most nights. But because of his last start and his inability to even get out of the second inning and just wanting to, like, And I don't think it's ruined because he didn't lose the game technically and he didn't give up the big hit. He gave up two singles and one was like a seeing eye ground ball and you can live with it. And overall, I think the outcome or the outtake from that game is that Will Warren pitched well. But if you were to take him out after five and just left it at five shutout innings of one-hit baseball and not brought him out for the sixth, then you really solidify, hey, you gave us a great start tonight. Great. Now, having said that, if he goes out there and gets that, if that ball's hit 3 feet further to the left and it's a double play, then he's got six shutout innings and it's even better. But, like, I you could absolutely take away from that game that Will Warren, because the starting pitching is the major issue. Like, I'm going to get to the hitting a little bit, and Volpe and Wells, who only got a pitch hit appearance in this game, and, you know, Bellinger, who's been a real problem hitting behind Judge. But starting pitching is the biggest concern. I think I still expect, you know, those guys to be better than what they are at the moment. The starting pitching is what scares me. And so if you get a good start from Will Warren coming out, I do think that was a major positive from this game. A major positive. But getting back to your quarterback point, I don't care what John Mara wants. I really don't. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't care that John Mara would be satisfied with six or seven wins. I'm not. And it's not, again, it is not hard to win six games in the NFL. The worst teams in the league win five, six games. It's hard to win only three. You really have to be awful to win three games in the NFL. Just by, and everyone's so sure Shedeur Sanders isn't good. Okay. We've heard that before about other quarterbacks. We've heard that they're going to be can't miss and they've missed. And we've heard they're not going to be very good and they're great. Oh, you want to, like, we can go to that. We can go to the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson probably has to switch. Lamar Jackson will probably have to switch positions. He's not a quarterback. That's what was said pre-draft. He's won two MVPs. And very could have, and very easily, if you just go by stats, should have won his third. And prior to the draft, he has to change positions. So, I'm just saying, they need the future. What are they selling John Mara on? This is my main thing. Like, John Mara, oh, okay, he's desperate for wins. Okay, with these two guys, and if you get a good defensive, you know, player here, maybe you could win six or seven games with Russell Wilson, and everything will be right in the world. And then what? And what happens next year? Again, trying to win six or seven games with Russell Wilson? Great. Great. Fantastic. What's the vision? What's the plan for the franchise? They had a meeting with John Mara after the season ended. Did they really tell him we're going to get two washed-up quarterbacks and hope to win six games this year? Like, was that's the plan? Like, hey, we're going to try and get Aaron Rodgers or, you know, pie in the sky. We could trade for Matthew Stafford. There's some rumors he's available. But ultimately, I know there's enough guys. There's Russell Wilson. There's Joe Flacco. There's Jameis Winston. There's, you know, Gardner Minshew. There's Jimmy Garoppolo. There's a handful of, Justin Fields. There's a handful of crappy quarterbacks. And if you remember back to our spin the wheel of crappy quarterback days, I gave you a lot of them. But was that the meeting? Hey, John, we're going to get one or two of this handful of crap at the quarterback position. I'm going to spend money in free agency on our defensive backfield. Right, we do have Dexter Lawrence. We do have now a young wide receiver and a young running back who really established themselves. Andrew Thomas is coming back healthy. And you know what? If we get a really top player with the third overall pick, you're talking about a team with Russell Wilson who can win six games against a very tough schedule and a very tough division. You know, we could be, you know, still hanging around in November. Now, I don't know about the year after that. I don't know. But, I mean, this year, we could be, you know, we could just be lousy. Doesn't that sound good, John? We could be lousy next year. And then, you know, as opposed to god-awful, we should make a real good jump to lousy. And then, you know, I don't know what we'll do from there, but I promise you a jump to lousy next year. All right, great. Let's run it back. Like, was that the meeting? Is that what he sold them on? A jump to lousy? Or, hey, we're going to find a quarterback in this draft. I'm going to develop the crap out of him. We're going to build around this thing, and in two or three years, we're going to be really freaking good. And we got caught up because, you know, we all thought Daniel Jones was something better than he was. But when I got good quarterback play, I took us to the playoffs. We're going to build. I'm going to get the young stud quarterback of the future. I'm going to develop him like I developed Josh Allen, and we're going to be a winning franchise in 2 years. That sounds a hell of a lot more like a plan that I'd keep a guy around for than opposed to, I'm going to go sign a bunch of crap, but that crap will probably prop us up to, you know, six wins. 888-808-1019. 1 hour down, two more to go. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another 2 hours to the warm-up show at 5. We'll get into a little bit more baseball. We'll get into the Knicks again, as we're not sure who to blame for the offensive stagnation, if that's a word. I feel like that's not a word. But maybe it is. The hero ball of Jalen Brunson. Is it Brunson's fault? Is Karl Anthony Towns not taking a shot in the fourth quarter Karl Anthony Towns' fault? Or does it all fall at the feet of the head coach?
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.